It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. Well, today we have about 16 vessels on our Columbia River ship schedule, 3 inbounders, 8 in our Astoria anchorages, and about 6 outbounders. They include 1 ATB rig, a couple of tankers carrying petroleum, refined petroleum, about a dozen bulk carriers, and 1 military sealift command vessel headed out of the shipyard at Swan Island. In our marine weather forecast, we have west winds, 10 to 15 knots today. We had a small craft advisory overnight, but that has expired, so the wind has died down a bit. Wind waves from the west, 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart. West swells 6 feet at 10 seconds. A chance of showers today and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Well, today I want to talk with you about something that we've kind of discussed earlier on the Ship Report, about how shipping has been affected by the pandemic and other events around the world. And I'd spoken with you in an earlier report about how an imbalance of containers in the world was causing problems in the shipping industry. So a glut of containers in one place and a shortage of them in another has been causing problems with shipping and causing shortages of certain kinds of products. Now other interruptions in the supply chain have arisen, and the effects are rippling across the world's chain of commerce. So today we'll talk a little bit about what is being affected and what experts say might be next, and how it might affect us here in the U.S. So I'm going to read part of an article to you from Bloomberg.com, their news website. The title of this article, the headline is "The World Economy is Suddenly Running Low on Everything." And I'm going to read you a bit of it and explain some of it. We'll talk a little bit also about how this might affect us here on the Columbia. A year ago, as the pandemic ravaged country after country and economies shuddered, consumers were the ones panic buying. Today, on the rebound, it's companies furiously trying to stock up. Mattress producers to car manufacturers to aluminum foil makers are buying more material than they need to survive the breakneck speed at which demand for goods is recovering and assuage that primal fear of running out. The frenzy is pushing supply chains to the brink of seizing up. Shortages, transportation bottlenecks, and price spikes are nearing the highest levels in recent memory, raising concern that a supercharged global economy will stoke inflation. Copper, iron ore, steel, corn, coffee, wheat, and soybeans, lumber, semiconductors, plastic, and cardboard for packaging. These are some of the goods that are affected. The world is seemingly low on all of it. Here's a quote from Tom Linebarger. He's chairman and chief executive of engine and generator manufacturer Cummins Incorporated. "You name it, and we have a shortage of it," he said on a call this month. Clients are, quote, "trying to get everything they can because they see high demand," unquote. Jennifer Rumsey, the Columbus, Indiana-based company's president, said, quote, "they think it's going to extend into next year," unquote. The difference between the big crunch of 2021 and past supply disruptions is the sheer magnitude of it, and the fact that there is, as far as anyone can tell, no clear end in sight. Big or small, few businesses are spared. Further worsening the situation is an unusually long and growing list of calamities, and this is in addition to the pandemic, that have rocked commodities in recent months. A freak accident in the Suez Canal backed up global shipping in March. You remember the Ever Given, that container ship that was stuck sideways in the Suez Canal. Drought has wreaked havoc upon agricultural crops. A deep freeze and mass blackout wiped out energy and petrochemical operations across the central U.S. in February. Less than 2 weeks ago, hackers brought down the largest fuel pipeline in the U.S., driving gas prices above $3 a gallon for the first time since 2014. Now India's massive COVID-19 outbreak is threatening its biggest ports. For anyone who thinks this is all going to end in a few months, consider the somewhat obscure U.S. economic indicator known as the Logistics Managers Index. The gauge is built on a monthly survey of corporate supply chiefs that asks where they see inventory, transportation, and warehouse expenses, the three key components of managing supply chains, now and in 12 months. The current index is at its second highest level in records dating back to 2016, and the future gauge shows little respite a year from now. The index has proven unswervingly accurate in the past, matching up with actual costs about 90% of the time. More well-known barometers are starting to reflect the high costs for households and companies. An index of U.S. consumer prices that excludes food and fuel jumped in April from a month earlier by the most since 1982. At the factory gate, the increase in prices charged by American producers was twice as large as economists expected. Unless companies pass that cost along to consumers and boost productivity, it'll eat into their profit margins. A growing chorus of observers are warning that inflation is bound to quicken or worsen. The threat has been enough to send tremors through world capitals, central banks, factories, and supermarkets. The U.S. Federal Reserve is facing new questions about when it will hike rates to stave off inflation, and the perceived political risk already threatens to upset President Joe Biden's spending plans. And so, a little bit about inflation. That word gets tossed around a lot. So what does it really mean? Well, in economics, inflation is a general rise in the price level of an economy over a period of time. When the general price level rises, each unit of currency buys fewer goods and services. Inflation reflects a reduction in the purchasing power per unit of money, a loss of real value in the medium of exchange. Some good news, policymakers have laid out a number of reasons why they don't expect inflationary pressures to get out of hand. Fed Governor Lael Brainard said recently that officials should be patient through the transitory surge. Among the reasons for calm, the big surges lately are partly blamed on skewed comparisons to the steep drops of a year ago, and many companies that have held the line on price hikes for years remain reticent about them now. What's more, U.S. retail sales stalled in April after a sharp rise in the month earlier, and commodities prices have recently retreated from their multi-year highs. So here's an example about how this is affecting retailers. At Colgate Mattress, executives used to be able to order foam on Monday and have it delivered on Thursday. Now suppliers can't promise anything. What's clear is that they can't sustain the high input costs forever and still maintain quality. So that company is saying that they're looking at inflation. And part of that is because they've been using what's called in the industry a just-in-time inventory model that retailers all over the world came to rely on in the age of the container ship. Container ships used to be running so regularly and with such fast turnaround time that retailers could essentially use the container ships as their warehouse and only order what they needed and have it in a few days. Now businesses may have to spend money investing in warehouse space so they can keep items stocked. And as far as how this might affect us here on the Columbia, well, we are exporting a lot of those raw materials and goods that are mentioned in this article as being in short supply worldwide. So that should be a good thing for shipping here on the Columbia. There will probably be lots of ships on the ship schedule for me to tell you about this week and beyond. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.